There was a young couple on their 7th wedding anniversary. The husband, fishing for a compliment, asked his wife, "Was I the smartest person you ever wanted to marry, the most intelligent, the wisest? Was there anyone even close to me?" She bowed her head, and a little tear began to trickle out of her cheek, and the husband felt bad and said, "I'm so sorry I put you in this situation. Forget the question." And she goes, "Quiet, I'm counting." Often, we think we're hotter than we are. We think we're more fantastic than we are. And the illusion is beautiful. It's better than reality. But in real life, we have to be prepared to look at ourselves, as the old saying goes, warts and all, good and bad, not to forget one over the other. And oftentimes, to realize how much God has given us to solve our own problems. There was a physicist, an astrophysicist, who was part of a great observatory, and he said, "I wasn't looking for God to answer the questions of physics, of the universe. If I was looking for a God with answers, I probably would have become an atheist. But I was looking for a God not to answer, but to inspire me. A God to love me." Because we know what it takes to solve world hunger. We don't need God to solve world hunger. We know what it takes to solve wealth inequality. We know where the money is and where it should be. We know where the food is and where it should be. What we lack is the courage, the inspiration to overcome the human frailties of jealousy, anger, and violence. But we don't need God to answer questions of physics and chemistry and biology. That's why He gave us a brain. One of my friends was a chaplain in the army, and he had this little card, and it said, "Doing business with people like you for 2,000 years. And on the other side, it said, "Think. It may be a new experience. Think. And pray to the God who gave us enough intelligence and smarts to figure things out, and also promised to both inspire us and give us His grace, His power to accomplish things." We don't need God for a lot of things. God is superfluous. But in His superfluousness, He reminds us that love is not born out of necessity. I grew up with two sisters, and they're beautiful sisters. There were a lot of slamming doors when I was younger. And my younger sister was going through a tough time. I said, "Lesha, I love you." And she goes, "You have to. You're my brother. You don't count." I go, "No, I don't. I don't have to. I choose to." Love is not born in those times when someone has to. Love is born because I choose to love you. God chooses to love us, not because He has to love us. And so those times when the real you comes out and your ego takes a hit and your life is not as good as you would like it to be, go to that God who understands you. Go to the friends that God has given you. Go to that heart that you have and you say, "He gave me this powerful choice that I could start life anew every day, every moment, every second." Never let your mind be stuck in the past. The Irish have a very good saying, "There is no future in the past." So look at your life honestly, good and bad. Analyze it, and in prayer, ask God to inspire you where you should go next. And create your future, never be a victim of what people say about you or think about you, because your God is called Father and you are called His child, and I am your brother, and I am very happy to be with you today. Encourage and inspire those people who don't need us, but want us as we want them. Slava Isusu Hristu!